when I'm picturing Chad talking about Anna playing the vibe, I see her in a bikini on a Twister board game.
I wish she was.
And you guys are just watering her down with garden hoses.
Whoa, what have you been thinking about? Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
That escalated super quickly.
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of DL Gaming. I am here with Chad, Chi, and Emilio.
Woohoo!
Hey.
Yeah, I did all three at once.
And say your name, too.
And Bobby. That's
yeah,
me.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so we are going to start off with last week's episode.
Oh, yeah, jump right into it.
Yep, except I don't have it queued up, so we're going to put that off for a little bit.
So we'll do a little...
an apology for Undertale. We are all procrastinating because Overwatch...
Not we all.
Except for Chad. Chad's the only one who finished it.
He gets the A+. He's a good student.
Yes,
yeah, and it's funny because he's one of the biggest procrastinators, but he got this done.
So I valued doing this because I thought it was important.
How did you get it done? All in one sitting?
No, I did a couple sittings. But
Two or three, right?
I felt good because I was knocking two things off because I was also using the Steam controller exclusively.
Ooh.
So I get to talk about the Steam controller and Undertale. You know, and obviously it's a decent game, so I was having fun doing it.
Chad's actually been doing most of the work on the podcast lately.
I'm trying to keep the train rolling.
Yeah.
So we got that queued up yet, Bobby?
We sure do. All right. So from last week's episode.
Let me finish this point. So anyway, you're going to have to wait for the Undertale episode.
Oh.
If you don't know what that is, we have a DL Gaming game club. So it's kind of like a book club but for games. If you want to play along, we're going to it's a separate podcast, and then we're going to discuss the game in detail for about an hour or half an hour, and the tale maybe about 45 minutes or something, or whatever, until we run out of shit to talk about. But, yeah, you can play along. The last one we did was
BioShock. The original BioShock.
Yeah, so you can play it again. The good thing about these is you don't have to keep along with us. You can do it at your own pace and listen to that episode whenever you like. So
If you have played BioShock, listen to our podcast, and we'll tell you what we thought of it, and then coming soon is the Undertale version.
Yeah.
And the Undertale is cheap. You can get it for a couple bucks, so it won't break your bank to play with us.
Yeah, and if you want to support the podcast, go to G2A and buy that, and if you click through our link on our website, it just kind of gives us credit. We earn credits no matter what you buy, and that's where games are cheapest. We all buy our games from G2A for the most part, so that's how you can support us.
Cool.
Without spending any extra money.
All right.
Bobby, hit us up with it.
All right, so this is last week.
Last week on the podcast, Bobby shows some emotion for the first time.
I'm not pointing any fingers, Bobby, but, you know.
Oh, my God. You guys are painting this portrait of me that I do not understand whatsoever. You guys act like I put this thing on and was like, what's happening?
She experiences the joy of being a man.
I felt like a true man, and I was ejaculating my hose all over the space balls.
Wow.
She once again makes various noises.
Yeah. Is this my question? No way!
Yeah.
And the DL crew discuss the various merits of VR.
Do they have female perspective VR porn, or
they
is it strictly
indeed.
Male?
Oh,
no
indeed.
Way.
Yes.
Wow.
Now you can watch a sweaty dude on top of you from the girl perspective as well.
Yeah, you didn't find much this week, huh?
Yeah, no,
in 3 hours of content, that's the best you could do.
The system didn't find a whole lot.
God, we suck.
Yeah.
I was kind of the MVP of that one.
Yeah.
Last week, I actually talked during a podcast.
Last week was a long episode, so congrats to you if you got through the whole two and a half hours of my interview and a long episode. So
congrats and thank you.
It seems like our episodes are either entertaining or information dense. It's one or the other. It's usually very rarely both. I'm feeling this one's going to be a funny one. I'm going to put my funny hat on.
Well, we got a sec to talk about interviews. So we finished the three interviews. Chi interviewed all three of us. Those were the last couple episodes. So thank you very much, Chi, for getting through those. So I think we're ready to go back to listener spotlights. However, I wanted to do one more And I think the three of us should interview Chi and do a little reverse interview. So maybe after this podcast, maybe after we're done recording, we can do a quick one, learn a little bit about her as well. So the people can learn about her as well.
That'd Sounds be good. Fun.
Are you guys down with that?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
we could video record okay. that.
Yeah, so...
See, you guys are finding out, all of you guys out in podcast land, you're finding out how the fudge is packed around here.
Exactly.
It's mm-hmm. just like, this is what we do on the fly.
Yeah. So after that's done, though, we're right back to the listener spotlight. You guys can sign up on our listener spotlight discussion thread on our Steam group, DL Gaming. And if you're interested, we're going to go through it. We got a bunch of people already interested, and we thank you guys. We'll start getting through them this week.
We have a list of like five or six right now.
Yeah, something like that.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
And we're excited to do. That's some of the best, most fun for me on this podcast is talking to guys and gals that have already found us and are interested in our podcast and are interested in participating.
Yeah, it's if really you're a cool. girl that listens to us, please let us know. Okay, it'd be great. I will put you at the front of the line. Just because of the rarity.
Yeah. So, what else are we talking about?
All right. So, we're going to talk about games coming out this week and whether or not we are interested in them.
Can okay. I tell a story real quick?
Yes.
We were drunk and playing drinking games last night. We were already drunk when we started playing drinking games last night. People got wasted. There was vomit. It was bad. Like, there was a lot of drinking.
Or good, depending on your perspective.
And so, I left my friend's house. Meanwhile, he can't speak English anymore. He's so drunk. Matt doesn't remember us leaving the house.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway, I'm peeing on the side of his house on a agave bush, and he comes up behind me and pushes me over, which isn't hard because I'm wasted. I get punctured by the by agave's thorns in my dick,
ouch,
stomach, wow. legs, and I don't know if you've ever fallen in a thorn bush before, but you can't push off of anything because there's thorns. Right? Because anywhere you put your hands, there's more thorns. So you have to apply more pressure. So I'm yelling out for help, somebody to help me, and nobody's coming.
So we're all equally drunk.
Yeah, everybody's drunk. Nobody knows what's going on.
I'm trying to take care of my girl who's
wasted.
White girl wasted at that point.
Yeah, and she's not white, which is double drunk.
Yeah, double drunk.
Well, where was Smoochie and Bobby during all of this? While you were playing Game of Thrones,
Bobby was probably teaching a lecture
or
doing some upholstery work. Like,
yeah, what else has Bobby done?
So I was very mad. I was very mad at everybody that did not help me, which is everybody. So I was yelling.
I would help myself to recording that.
How often do I get mad, Chad? Like,
were you actually mad?
I think I was actually mad.
Oh.
I'm just picturing this.
I think your girl was a little scared last night because you were actually mad.
Yeah, you know why? Because I felt vulnerable. Like I never yell for help ever in my whole life, and
true.
I yelled for help for the like first time that I can remember since I was a
Matt
kid.
Didn't,
I think
Matt didn't just help you up.
Dick no, he
would
ran
make
in his
anyone
house.
Anyone angry?
Oh, huh? Yeah, punctured dick.
Yeah,
would make anyone.
Oh my
angry.
God! Yeah.
So can we get back?
It
to
still works
now?
Though. I tried it out this morning.
Well, thank you for that too much information.
All right.
So let's get into games coming out this week. Bobby, if you want to show some clips or whatever. There's not a whole lot coming out this week. It is a very dead week, so it is a great week to get into Overwatch or to get into Undertale.
Yeah.
Both everybody
yeah.
here.
Or Bioshock.
But there is one game coming out. It's Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter. So I'm going to get... read you a quick snippet of what I collected. So it's the eighth game in the series, the predecessor being Crime and Punishments, which I'm assuming none of us have played.
No, so, I played the one before Crime. Crimes and Punishments.
Crimes and
Did you like it, Bobby?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are a very specific type of game, though.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are going to like
So these. It's an adventure game with gameplay blending investigation, action, and exploration. Would you say that's true, Bobby?
Yes.
Okay. So you have this deduction board gameplay mechanic that you link pieces of information together, and then based on the linkings you can solve crimes. And it's this one's about five different cases all blending together and solving stuff.
So it's like an interactive story.
I think it's a little. I didn't play L.A. Noire a whole lot, but I think is it similar to L.A. Noire, Bobby, in that style?
I don't know. This one looks a little bit different than the one that I had played, and there was a lot more puzzles in it. That was really the game there, and then there was kind of it was all connected by a story.
So it's kind of like I'm still feeling this is like a Telltale game.
It plays
like a Telltale game.
No, the puzzles are very like strict, like puzzle stuff, like. Like Sudoku, like almost.
Hmm.
Yeah, from looking at the photos here, it does have that L.A. noir appeal to it. I feel like with L.A. Noir, it was very much a conversationally driven game, whereas this one here, it's more about possibly discovering clues to piece together.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Agreed.
Just a side note, how strange it is that the British culture doesn't have superheroes, and we do in the United States, and their superheroes are basically normal people with extraordinary abilities. So Sherlock Holmes, 007, Doctor Strange, they're just regular dudes. They don't have superpowers.
Very humble heroes.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, isn't
Captain Britain definitely has superpowers.
That's an American.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange, though?
Wasn't like Excalibur, or was that Canadian?
That's all American, dude. I mean, we made it up, but we placed those characters in those countries.
I think it has something to do with the American mentality.
Yeah. Just over the top.
We're so awesome that you need superpowers to rise above, right?
Yeah. I mean, didn't we coin the concept of a superpower?
Like, yeah, probably.
The sky isn't the limit.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah.
So, I forgot who it was, but they were like, what's the biggest difference between living in America and Britain? He's like, when you grow up there, like over here, everybody's like, you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. If you put your mind to it, you can be the president. Over there, you try something and they're like, what are you doing? Don't do that.
Try toothpaste at least.
You can't. Whoa.
I'm sorry. No.
Boom.
Wow.
In your face, entire nation.
Go to the dentist or something.
Yeah. Like, try to rise above, because you're not going to make it. There's no chance. That's crazy, right?
That's a weird stereotype, though, isn't it?
What?
The bad teeth thing.
They have bad teeth, Chad.
Well, so do Americans.
I don't know.
But they don't have superheroes.
Yeah, I don't think, statistically, I don't think they really do have bad teeth. I think that's just a stereotype.
I think it is true.
I mean, there's a lot of Americans with fucked up grills, so
seriously.
I think it's more likely.
I don't think we're anybody to be pointing fingers here.
And in Japan, there's actually a culture where they crook and they unstraighten teeth because they think there's a cuteness or whatever, an attractiveness.
Save, by the way.
What?
Switching to unstrained. Yeah, because you were struggling there.
Yes, I was. All right, anyways, so Sherlock Holmes, I'm very interested. What was that other game where you played as the ghost that you were investigating crimes?
That was
Outlast, Outcast, something like that. Do you remember that, Bobby?
No,
anyways,
you played.
I really like
I think
that
I've
game.
Played that, too. Alan Wake?
No.
He wasn't a ghost, though.
Ethan Carter?
No. This is the one that you get shot and killed, and then you have to investigate your own...
You're the only one
that was on
it.
The DS, wasn't it?
No, it was on
yeah,
the PC.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's not Outlast.
Yeah. Anyways, I like these investigation kind of games, so I'm really interested.
That's funny. This was supposed to be a 10-second bit.
I know. No, we got kind of sidetracked several times.
I don't give a shit about this game at all.
I noticed. Chi?
It has nice appeal, but I would not be investing money to pick it up now.
Okay. And Bobby?
I am slightly interested.
Okay.
I still got to finish other Sherlock Holmes games. And the only appeal for me with this is the fact that it is a Sherlock Holmes game, because I really like those books. And
I love Sherlock Holmes.
And if you haven't seen the BBC Sherlock Holmes recently, those are fantastic.
Then you're probably dead. But
no.
A lot of
people don't watch BBC stuff.
Well,
it's probably the best thing out of Britain that I've seen, besides Top Gear.
I'd rather save my money for the dentist. Sorry.
That's true.
Not sorry.
All right. The other game that I just wanted to point out is Kingspray Graffiti Simulator. This is specifically a VR game, but it's the VR graffiti simulator that you might have seen online clips. People have been talking a little bit about how realistic it is and the cool things you can do with it. It's not really a game. It's just a graffiti simulator. It's a wall that you can decorate and do what you want with. Oh, you got audio on, Bobby, so you might want to mute that.
No, it's muted.
Okay, good. So, Amila, we have VR now. Are you thinking of picking up something like this? I think this is a good showpiece to show people that maybe aren't game players what you could do with VR.
Well, to my knowledge,
try the Steam store, Bobby. That might work better.
To my knowledge, the highest rated thing on Steam right now, Steam VR, is the Google one. Paint something. It's similar.
Yeah, it comes with the Vive, I believe.
No, it doesn't.
Are you sure? The Vive comes with three games, and I thought that was
one. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, but not our version, because we got the developer version.
Oh.
So, so this is like a 2D plane, and it looks awesome, and it looks like... But on this other one, it's in a 3D space. you have any idea what it's called, Bobby?
I can look it up.
Yeah. So basically, you're painting in a 3D space, so you end up with a sculpture, not a painting.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is nice. A 2D.
Yeah, you know? This is a straight graffiti simulator. Right. Like, it's spray cans with the drips. So it's
Tilt brush. That's it.
It's what is it called?
Tilt brush.
Oh, okay.
And so sorry to cut you off.
No,
Chad. But at the convention, they had a challenge. They had brought in six artists to each a dry run, never done VR before, do things, and they made amazing, like. And you can animate it. Hmm. So I'm just saying, if you're going to choose between the two, Tilt Brush seems the way to go. Plus, it's the highest rated thing.
Yeah, I think this is more like specifically tailored for people that like the graffiti style and want to like mess around with it.
Yeah.
But you could probably just walk in and start messing around with this and create some really fun stuff and kind of like really show what you can do in VR for somebody that doesn't want to play a game.
It looks like real life.
Absolutely.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like real life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very artistic, though, so it would be a waste for me. But
me too.
But Sammy's like really artistic. She has that mind.
Artistic or autistic?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
All right, that's it for games coming out this week. Other than that, keep playing the old games you guys are playing because save your money for the summer sale coming
up. Can you draw?
No.
No,
not with my hands.
I think you're either born with it or not. I put in probably 100 hours of trying to practice drawing when I was younger.
10,000 hours, right? To become a master.
Yeah.
10,000 hours.
I don't know. Right. You have to see an image in your head before you're going to put it on paper, and I'm just not very good at doing
exactly.
that.
Likewise.
All right, so those are the games coming out this week. On to, I guess the big story again this week would be Overwatch. And even though we talked a lot about it last week, I think it'd be better to talk about it now that we've played, I don't know. I played a lot. I don't know about you guys, but
likewise.
I feel like I have a much more firm grasp on the game and can talk about it a little better than I did it from my initial impressions.
So kick us
kinda
off,
sucked.
Bobby.
It kind of sucked for Bobby because like, I expect him to be like grade A right off the bat, you know, and he sucked. He sucked the first couple of days, but he didn't know what was going on.
There's
he didn't know
definitely
people.
A learning
curve. Yeah, figured out. I've definitely put in the hours to figure out who does what and how to counter this or that. And I've kind of just gone through different phases to see what works and what doesn't. And I'm really liking Reinhardt now. He's like my number
Everybody
one guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, you should introduce yourself as hi, my name is Bobby. I'm level blank on Overwatch.
Yeah,
and I play as
you?
Reinhardt.
I'm level 24.
Like, Alcoholics Anonymous.
I bought 100 more loot boxes.
100?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
You need to share some of those.
I found some money in a PayPal account, and I was like, okay.
Oh, well. I do have money in a PayPal account.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I guess
you
I'll spend it on that.
Can I
accidentally purposely log into my BattleNet and do that all over again?
Yeah. I need to interject right now, right when before you go into this.
Oh, yeah.
Chad is hacking.
What is going on?
He bought a $50 one, Chad?
Yeah,
a $40 one.
I bought the $40 50 pack.
And got 50 boxes.
Yeah, 50
right?
boxes. Mm-hmm.
He never has to buy another fucking thing again.
What's going on?
I have, okay, so he got every cool skin possible.
How did you get these numbers?
So people broke it down. Somebody.
Yeah, there was a Reddit post.
There's a Reddit post
and
he broke it down. So here's a drop rate. Common, which is gray, 97% chance. Obviously, you're going to get in everyone. I can't believe that you could even get a box with no commons. There must be a possibility, though.
Yeah, all rares are higher.
Yeah, right. So rares is 78%.
Okay.
Epic is 25%. And legendary is 9%.
Okay.
Except unless you're Chad.
1 in 11 boxes. So if you open a 50 pack, you should get 4 or 5.
Right, and you got 10 legendaries?
9 or 10, probably, yeah.
And probably epics, he probably got, I don't know, dude. The first 4 or 5 were, one had 2 epics and 2 blues in it.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe he has every cool skin.
He was getting so mad.
I was so mad. Every
yeah.
So, if you go to people's skins, roughly, just to say, the bottom one is usually the coolest one and the most rare.
Of course.
He's got them all. He's got.
I don't have them all. I got like 4 or 5 of those. But the coolest ones, I got like Pharaoh's. I got the Pharaoh skin where she's the Native American one.
Yeah.
I got Reaper, the White Reaper, the
Mexican one,
El Blanco,
the Mariachi.
Yeah. What else did I get?
You got the Arabic.
Bastion.
The Arabic Genji.
Oh yeah, the Arabic Genji.
Like basically the sweetest skins. He got them all.
And
I'm still level 4.
A wet view. Yeah.
Oh, and here's the worst. Yeah, no. And here's now, the worst part of the whole thing.
That is the worst part. I think I just heard the worst part.
He only plays one character. That's the worst part. So they're all going to rot.
I play Lucio. But I've been trying out.
And he's the ugliest character in the game, in my opinion.
No, have you seen that skin, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that golden skin.
I got I paid for the golden skin where he's got the giant smiley face or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
I have to see it.
Yeah, you'll check it out.
Lucio, by the way, he also ended up with 1,500 credits.
Yeah.
On top of all of this.
That's about how much. I got about 2,000, over 2,000 credits off of a 50-pack. And I noticed, with all the boxes I've been opening, there were a couple times where I got two legendaries in one box. It was almost as if I was going to get a legendary, it was going to come in two.
You had? I don't think I ever got two legendaries in one box.
In one crate.
I have a theory that if you buy the 50 pack, that your odds go up a little bit more.
Well, in that Reddit post, someone had talked about if there was a pity factor or something like that, and I guess that's what they have in Hearthstone. If you open a certain amount of boxes and you don't get something after opening that amount, then it weighs the odds. Yeah, it weighs the odds in your favor that you will upon any more.
That's really smart.
Any more packs that you open,
make
after
it worth
that.
Your money.
I don't think
what
it's
did
working
you buy with
for
your
me.
2K?
Well, I got like 3K now. I haven't decided yet. I've got a lot of the skins that I want. I'm just trying to like get. I think I've got everything that I want, like the voice lines, the poses, everything like that. But some of my favorite skins are on the heroes or the characters that I don't really even play.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to spend that on yet. Although my favorite character, not to play, but I think just the character design, the style of him, is probably Lucio, because he's just this. I think he's Brazilian or something.
Yeah, Brazilian. But he doesn't have a Brazilian accent. I think that's very strange.
I'm actually level 8, so
why doesn't he have a Brazilian accent? They couldn't find a Brazilian.
I don't know, but I'm glad they don't. Because I'm not even saying like I like having a Lucio on my team, or I like the way that he plays or his abilities. I just like that personality and like the character that they created, because he's just this incredibly upbeat black guy that's just like at the beginning of the round, he'll be like, "Look at this team, we're gonna do great." Yeah. I'm just like, "Yes, this guy is on board." Great.
I am
guys,
so surprised because I always thought Lucio was like the cheesiest one. He's got like
that's why I love him. Like
he's got just, like the skates on and like the dreads.
Yeah, he's like that guy rollerblading at the beach that's just a little
almost
too happy.
Almost racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a lot of guys are too cool for school, you know,
like
Genji.
Reaper.
Yeah, they're just too cool, you know. I don't know who my favorite is stylistically.
I think right now McCree and Hanzo are kind of taking the overpowered, you know, I'm the cool one because I
and
can,
Bastion, of course.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm really starting to notice Bastion since I've been playing a whole lot. And it's to the point now that if Bastion is in a game, both me and like other people I've noticed will be like, come on, man, really? You want to ruin the game like that? Like, even if it's on your team, it's like, we cheesed it. Even if you win, you don't feel good about yourself. Bastion is just, I really don't care for him.
I mean, it's like,
I unabashedly play Bastion.
Right.
Anyone?
Huh? No.
I don't give a fuck. I have fun playing with him. I don't care. Yes, it's easy mode.
It's a point and click adventure at that point.
But, yeah. I mean, like good players can take you out really quickly. And you have to get.
That's true.
You have. The only way to play them correctly is to play him like a TF2 turret. You need to put yourself in an opposite corner, and that's the only way. And sometimes you just wait there. Sometimes it's not fun. I really enjoy Bastion.
So they've already announced some, you know, nerfs coming.
Yeah. June like 12th, something big's coming.
They're talking
big
June,
patch.
June 12th, July. Oh, really? That early?
Yeah, there's a the first patch is coming.
So one of the big things they're looking to adjust is McCree and his right-click damage.
Fan of Hammer or
Fan
Hammer?
The Hammer.
Fan the Hammer. So they're looking to adjust that. They've also mentioned that D.Va needs a little...
Something.
Not buffing, but
she's
got to be tweaked a little bit because they want her to be... But they said it's not going to be more damage, probably not, because they want to keep her in the tank.
Right.
Category, but they want to do something with D.Va, so it's not just wait for your ult, throw your ult, get 6 kills, wait for your ult, throw your ult.
What I realized with D.Va just recently, this week, I feel like nobody was doing this. Maybe you can do it now, and you couldn't do it then. Is they hit the booster and then they jump out of the thing,
and you can send your.
I never saw it once in the whole beta, and now I see it all the time.
The coolest things that you see are always if you see like clips online. It's always a diva play where she tosses her thing in some crazy way and gets like 18 kills, like kills the team three times or something. Like it just like crazy plays with diva. It's always diva.
They have 7 million players, by the way, now.
That's awesome.
So should we bring up the ban?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chad. You know better than I do.
So Blizzard is doing something smart. They said they were going to ban players that are cheating, and they stuck to their guns. They banned a ton of people. And over in China, they banned even more. Because if you put your game in China, you have to have a Chinese publisher to do it. So I believe the Chinese publisher is OW or something along those lines. And they banned, like, thousands of players over in China.
Yeah.
But they banned a ton of people. And
we're talking thousands and thousands.
They banned it to the hardware level. So people that got banned bought Overwatch again and were immediately banned. And some people even bought it a third time and were it doesn't matter if you buy it, you can't play it anymore on the hardware you're playing on.
If you ever cheated ever once.
Yeah.
No mercy.
No mercy.
And good.
It's
fantastic,
like getting back banned,
right?
But worse.
So I'm going to play a little devil's advocate.
No, you should never cheat.
No, I'm not saying.
No matter what.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But what happens if you didn't cheat and it still banned you? Like, you're just fucked at that point.
There are always ways to dispute that. I haven't seen any instances of that.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, I love the banhammers. Please banhammer everybody that is cheating. I fucking hate cheaters.
Yeah.
But if I would be really mad if I bought this game and I got a ban.
Yeah, but you're talking about something that doesn't exist.
Sure it exists. If they're banning thousands of players, I'm sure there's somebody that was banned inappropriately or for a reason that can be explained.
Well, it says in the article they banned 1,572 people, and that was the first wave. So there might be more on top of that, but I don't know if it's thousands and thousands, but it is quite a few people.
No, I read that it was 1,500 just in China alone.
Hmm.
Right? Is that, if you reread that? Or I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. They're doing the right thing. Keep it up. Does anybody want to anything else on Overwatch, a particular play or anything like that?
I want to mention the levels. So I want to go around and get everyone's level. Bobby's 24. You're level 8.
I think I'm level 8.
And then what level are you at, Emilia?
I have no idea.
Not even a...
Maybe
round
17 or 18.
Oh, 17 or 18? There's something else.
I would guess.
There's a website that where you can look up your stats.
Your career profile?
Yeah, not just your career profile, but you can see your ranking and
everything else.
Keep talking. Let me find
the
website.
I'm at level 28, and
you played the most.
Yeah, so I've played the most, but this is what's insane. I have two friends. And two great, amazing gamer friends. One is already level 71.
Wow.
Holy shit.
And I made fun of him. I said, wow, did you hit...
Right?
I'm like, wow, did you hit endgame yet, you nerd? And he's like, wow, F you. But I think that's insanely impressive to play as much Overwatch as the level 71 and my little brother, who's over level 60 now at this point.
Mm.
And when I play with them, I haven't so much played with the level 71, but I played with my level 60 brother. They seriously turn the tides of the game.
Mm.
Like, they have such a strong awareness of the game where I actually feel like they can carry.
Right.
Whereas normally, and everybody else, you are being queued up with people around like levels.
Mm-hmm.
So these games, when I'm playing with the higher levels versus solo queuing and playing with lower levels, there's a significant difference between playing with a group or playing with like levels. And I can say I'm more than eager for us to kind of continue to play more Overwatch and continue this conversation, because it's going to change. I feel like Overwatch is one of the few games, like most other competitive games, where once you grow your level of understanding, the game experience changes for you.
And
so that's what I was most impressed about, that these people at these high levels can find so much enjoyment out of this one game, the replay value, that they can get that far in such a short amount of time.
And scales well. Your skill, apparently.
And I can still play with those high level characters and enjoy myself,
that's
and they can
know,
enjoy
right?
themselves too.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about the whole transforming as Overwatch gamers, and I'm pretty sure everyone else is going through the same thing
that's
as
great.
Well. Just slowly growing.
Fantastic.
Into
So the website is called masteroverwatch.com. And a little side point I want to bring up is that we have a thread going in on our discussion board on DL Gaming
to share our
gamer tag. So if you're interested in playing with us or want to add us as friends on the
Battle.net,
go ahead and go to the DL Gaming group on Steam and look at the thread and go ahead and add us.
You could add everybody everybody on that list. And
I only play with
friends.
Like levels or higher.
Yeah, you would not be playing with me then.
I like playing with people that carry me. I don't like carrying people.
Yeah,
she's a and she's gonna leave your game if she gets a loot box.
So Bobby,
I've been good about
check
that.
Mine out
I've been
on
resisting the urge. We level slower now, so it's
Flopsy 1997 is mine. Capital F though.
So my favorite play that I had recently was I got knocked off a ledge with Genji. I was playing Genji.
Mm-hmm.
And I used his double jump to get back to the wall.
Nice.
And then I used his wall climb to climb back up.
Whoa.
And then I used his dash to kill the guy who pushed me off.
Wow.
I almost jacked off right there.
That's really sick.
So
you just quit the game right there.
I love myself.
I was way
off. I love myself so much. I'm going to start loving myself.
I was way off the ledge. Like, way off. Double jump, wall climb, up. Dash, kill.
So your keyboard was dry before and wet after that.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
It was a dry, wet experience.
Yeah, so you can see on this Master Overwatch website, this is mine that's up right now. You see my rank. I'm actually level 7, apparently. And then you can see how much you played. And if you scroll down, Bobby, you can see how much you play for each guy and what your role you play most. Obviously, I'm support almost all the time.
So everything in the career profile.
Yeah, so you can see, you can check everybody out. As long as you have a gamer tag, a PSN ID, an Xbox ID, you can find out what people are playing. So if some guy kills you time and time again, you
can
always...
What's this website?
It's called MasterOverwatch.com.
So if you're thinking right now, what is this, the Overwatch podcast now? If... I don't care what you think. Play this fucking game. This is PC gaming right now.
Not just PC gaming. Like, all my friends at work who are console gamers are talking this game. It's across the board. It's on all three consoles.
I didn't know.
It's not on Wii, obviously.
Right.
But it's on the consoles also.
Are we playing against console people?
No. It doesn't have cross-platform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, if you're not a first-person shooter, if this is not your genre, I don't care. Buy this game. It is as close to perfection as you can get. It's just fun, pure fun.
Yeah.
And like she's talking about, like paying, you know, playing at this higher level. I don't care. Like I love it because you can jump in and play casually. I get one loot box a day, and then I sign off. Mm-hmm. You know.
My favorite part of this game is when you lose hard and you're just done. You're quick.
Yeah.
Nothing's worse than being in a 45-minute MOBA game where you're just slowly bleeding to death.
The lows aren't that low in this game.
Yeah.
There's hardly even...
You get over it super fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's on to the next one.
Oh, lost. Oh, but cool. Next one starting.
I think you're...
Unless you're on a losing streak and then you're questioning yourself. Right?
And it's so easy to hook up with your friends. If Chad knows Chi, but I don't
hook
know
up,
Chi.
Hook up.
Yeah. If Chad knows Chi, but I don't know her.
Yeah.
I can invite Chad, and he's like, I know this girl. She's pretty good.
You talked about this last week.
Yeah, I know. It's great, though. I mean, there's no other game.
Heroes of the Storm does it.
Did we compare this to what Left 4 Dead was for PC gaming yet?
No, but.
I don't think it's Left 4 Dead because Left 4 Dead has a huge storyline. You fall in love with the characters and whatnot. But I do feel the social element that you keep on referencing mm-hmm. is very similar to that. Left 4 Dead, for me, was such a staple game, if not my most favorite of all time.
One or two?
All of them.
The first and the second. Yeah. But I mean,
Bobby
practically the same game.
Left 4 Dead.
Half of my
fanboy.
The majority of my pre-podcast friends list is all that forget
yeah.
people.
And yep. I'm the same way. And it's just one of those things where it's a great game that can spawn even a bigger community, a social gamer community, which I feel like is one of the main foundations of why we enjoy PC gaming. It's because you find those great individuals that aren't just your gamer friends, but they are longstanding friends. I feel like PC gamer friends that I have are nothing compared to whatever gamer tag friends I have on Xbox or
right.
PlayStation console yeah. friends. My PC gamer friends know me and right. my game style and yeah. my play style, whereas console gamer friends are just much too on the casual.
Yeah. Bob, why are you digging Reinhardt lately?
Because I usually end up in the tank role. I think he's the best tank.
He is.
A lot of the other tanks are a little too squishy, so you either have to go double tanks, like if you have Roadhog and D.Va. Winston is easily countered. I really liked playing him. He's great against some characters, but he is so easily countered. He doesn't really do a good job of pushing objective points. I don't know.
Unless you go five Winstons, one Lucio. I did that.
Chad and I inadvertently found a really good synergy between Zenata and Winston.
Winston.
Because he can throw that heal orb on him, and then he can dive hard and just fucking not die, basically. Mm. Your first time playing Winston.
Well, Reinhardt does the same thing with his charge in. Also, so yeah. Like a similar thing, yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, man,
your first time
so
playing him,
playing Winston.
Did you not roll the entire other team while I was playing with Zenyatta?
Winston was a blast, but I think what you're saying, Bobby, is they don't. There's not a difference between a bruiser class and a tank class in this.
Oh,
and some of the tanks are more on the bruiser side. Mm-hmm. Like Roadhog does a lot of damage.
Love Roadhog
versus Reinhardt, which doesn't do a lot of damage, but he's absorbing a lot and he's causing chaos.
He's and, controlling the field more.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as a pure tank, that's what you're looking for. You're not looking for the damage because you got the damage guys behind you. So I agree with you, Bobby. I think they might need to split that role up a little bit more.
I feel like Winston's purpose in a match is to basically act like a shaken Coke bottle that's thrown on the ground and it's just spewing all over the place. Yeah. Just not operating chaos.
He's so much fun to play, Winston is.
Yeah.
Well, he's really good at jumping the back line if they have Widowmakers or people just kind of hanging in the back and poking. Then he's really good at just jumping straight back there and chasing them down. But
he definitely Reinhardt, has his place.
Yeah, Reinhardt works a lot better if your team is moving as a group and everyone's backing you up by the shield, and especially with a Mercy, he works really well.
I'm enjoying the Russian girl a lot more lately. I thought she was the bottom of the barrel.
Zarya.
I'm having way more fun with her recently.
She's like underutilized. So
I've never touched her. She's just too butch for me. I don't feel safe. My legs are clamped with that chick. I will put 0 hours into Zarya. I do not care.
I applaud
Wood
them.
Bang.
I think we brought this up before.
Yeah.
But I really applaud Blizzard for putting in a girl
a strong female
that's not just about sex.
Strong, vigorous,
like a real character in there. I really applaud Blizzard for doing that. And I think it turns some people off from her, but I think if you get in and invest in her, she could be really good.
Yeah.
You keep using a right click to throw her like grenades instead of using her.
I feel like the other one isn't very powerful.
Her right click does way more damage.
Except if you're trying to hit Tracer and she's just bouncing around, and I'm just watching him lob balls that are not even close to hitting Tracer.
I mean, you can't hit Tracer. Yeah. But my favorite character is Roadhog. I just got the Moa skin, which is that like Islander one that's red and white.
Oh,
have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
I love it, dude. That's my favorite skin, and I bought it. And his survivability is through the roof. I talked about him last week.
Yeah, when you chug the
dude, both. So his chain. His chain that he throws and his heal are both back in 6 seconds.
Yeah.
So you can just spam
the
his specials.
The 6 second chain is ridiculous because that's, I don't want to say game changer, but that will end lives if you hit somebody.
It's a good Bastion counter.
It is.
Because he can survive Bastion long enough to hook Bastion.
Yep.
Well, I don't know about that.
I find myself very much so stuck with the support roles.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, not when we were playing, but that was early on. That was like your first
day. Yeah, where I was trying one of every character. I feel like my games go better when I'm in an attack role or a defense role, but I find myself being the one where it's like, we need a healer. Okay, I'll be the bitch. I'll be the heal bitch.
Just play with me. I'll always be the healer.
But no, my most played character is Symmetra, believe it or not.
Yeah, you were saying last week how you were loving it, but it's only defensive, right?
Yeah, strictly defensive.
When you see offensive Symmetras, you're like, fuck. We lost.
Yeah. I'm never offense with Symmetra, but I will almost queue her up every time I'm in a defense role.
You know, I really like the idea of the play of the game, that little highlight reel.
Oh, they also did say they were looking to adjust the play of the game.
I've seen some boring ones.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed. I mean, I love the idea that they have one clip that they play at the end of the game and everyone has to watch it. I mean, that's great. But a lot of times it ends up, it varies on the game, too. A lot of times it ends up just being something not very exciting, or, it's somebody, I mean, it's like a lot of kills, but it's like, come on, the dude didn't really try that hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they actually, the developer has been responding on some forum posts, and he said, you know, they're adjusting this play of the game, and they understand that it's all focused on damage, so if you're playing a support, you'll never get play of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said early on, they had also linked it to healing and damage prevented, and Zenyatta's were getting it every time, because he would go in with his ultimate and would protect so much damage. So they were saying if a Zenyatta was in the game, every play of the game would just be him in his little, like, ultimate form,
yeah,
just going around. Yeah. But the play of the games are hilarious when it's like Torborn and it's just showing the dead body while the turret's just racking up kills or something.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, they need to work on it. But, yeah, you know,
I once saw Mercy get play of the game for getting a four-person res, but
That was my
was
only
time.
Play, not my only play of the game, but my first play of the game. That's what I got. I think it was a 5-man res.
I still have not gotten a play of the game, but like I said, I'm only 7, so.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding, dude? Yeah.
And
wow.
I never get it as a warrior. Never, ever get play
of
the game.
They're adjusting it.
Yeah, so the one that was crazy for me, I just saw this the other day. A Widowmaker killed one person and got play of the game because she killed... who's the cowboy?
McCree
during his
High Noon.
So if you can't, those kills are like exponentially more important. So he's like, it's High Noon headshot. Like he came around the corner. By the way, how fucking sweet is High Noon when they come around the corner and he's got his head down? It's so sick.
The tumbleweed, do you notice that there's a tumbleweed?
Oh, no, I never noticed.
I have not seen
every
it.
Single time that it's High Noon, you will see a random tumbleweed.
Oh, my God.
And
that's so
and
good.
That's
I'm
going
to have
know.
To look for it.
Yeah,
my favorite
for it.
Voice
Definitely
back
look for it.
Or voice emote is... It's High Noon somewhere in the world or something like that.
Do we have anything else that we're talking Overwatch? I have just one last point. Anything else? Okay.
Well, whatever you say is going to spur 10 more things.
No, what I was going to say is if you're not playing Overwatch and don't want to hear us talk about it, you know, we're going to be talking more games in next week and move forward. But we feel like Overwatch is such a big game that 2 weeks of podcast talk, and obviously we're going to talk about it a little bit more in the coming weeks because we're going to be continuing to play it. But, you know, we'll be back to the regular programming.
Imagine if a game as good as TF2 in its current state, all the way through its whole development. It wasn't very good at the beginning.
You are just so overhyping this. Anybody listening to our podcast that gets into the game is going to...
Overhyping what?
Are you still talking about Overwatch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You can't overhype it. This is... I don't know.
Okay, go for it.
This is
keep doing your analogy.
This is like
a
huge. It's like if TF2 came out fully fleshed on day one. That's what we're dealing with here. It's a game changer, Bobby.
I want to hear Bobby say it's a game changer. Bobby, is this a game changer?
Can a game change a game?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Can a game change gaming? And I think it has because it's bringing people together way more than...
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's just a shooter for me, though. I understand your hype, and I understand your interest in this game, but at the end of the day, it's just a shooter for me.
I do wish there was something more for maybe the strategy player.
And that's what I'm excited about because Blizzard is doing this game, and as they continue to add stuff to this game...
I think there is strategy at different levels.
No, but like if you're an RTS player... I wish there was something strictly for the RTS player that can't aim at. With Torborn, you still need to aim. Like, he's stronger than his turret.
Yeah,
so you still need to shoot well with Torborn. Yeah. I wish there was something where it was strictly turrets.
Less skill-based,
yes. Because just for the strategy.
That's how I feel about
people.
Symmetra. I feel like her weapons, she's so squishy that she can't really get middle range and get actual kills in. But smart placement of turrets, smart placement of teleporter, and that's the true game changer for me. Like, that's why I have the most fun playing a support class, because even though I'm not getting the most amount of kills, I am at least making it easy for my team to win. And that's
all that
matters.
Do you understand
really
how her shield mechanic works? I don't understand it.
You just shield everybody up.
Yeah.
As long as they have a shield. As long as
that's not the biggest appeal to her.
But then they lose the shield and you can't put it back on them.
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
do they have a cooldown on it? Internal cooldown or something?
No, I think it's because it's just one short block of the shield and that's all they get. Maybe they don't want to overpower her. Yeah. For her, I really feel like it's just all about smart turret placement and getting that teleporter down when you need it down. Because especially when you're doing a payload and it's constantly moving, placement of that can either make or break a game.
Yeah.
I actually have had horrible teleporter placements where my whole team died, they came through my teleporter, and the Reaper jumped in and died. And he got play of the game, but at the same time, I overexposed my entire team and, you know, got them dead. So you
play Sumatra on offense?
No, it was defense.
Oh, okay.
It's payload where the truck is moving.
Yeah, yeah.
And I put it in an area where it was just too close to combat.
You can't play her on offense, right? I mean,
you ideally would not want to play her on offense.
But the teleporter is the most important on offense. That's the crazy part.
For defense, it's more vital, I feel like.
Yeah, it could be.
All right, let's
move on. It's a great game. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I played the Steam controller, like I said earlier, with Undertale. I just wanted to bring up one little thing with this dongle, this little input that you put into your computer. Mm-hmm. So I was having the fucking hardest time with this thing.
You're talking like it's the same thing for the Xbox controller. You put in the receiver.
You put in the receiver into the USB jack.
Yeah.
And my Steam controller would be connected, disconnected. I was like, what the fuck is going on with this piece of shit? Yeah. I was about to throw this controller.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a little research about this. And they said, make sure your dongle is, make sure your receiver is placed far enough away from your hardware and in a spot that your controller can easily see it.
Mm.
And I'm like, what the hell? So I went back into the packaging, and there's this little black thing that I thought was just filler, but it has an extender in there. And so I put it in, used the extender, put it on my desk. It worked flawlessly.
That is so funny because I actually did an unboxing special on my stream either Monday or Wednesday with the Steam controller to start playing Undertale. It was Monday. And when I unboxed the thing, I was like, oh, there's something more. What is this thing? And it's the dongle and the USB cable.
The little input jack, right?
Mm-hmm. And I had plugged in the receiver and my controller works perfect just fine. And so I'm looking at this dongle. I'm like, what is this thing? And I was just saying earlier in my stream, I put it up to my ear and I was whispering to the dongle. I'm saying, tell me your purpose.
Little brick, they don't really tell me your purpose. Instructions.
What do you do?
Bobby, have you tried it out?
What's your...
No, I have not. The Steam controller?
You have one at your house though, right?
No.
I have a full review.
We have an extra one.
Yeah, why didn't you take one of ours?
I have about a 45-minute live review of the Steam controller.
Oh, I would tell people your Twitch stuff.
My Twitch. I am streaming every Monday and Wednesday, starting in between 6 and 9 o'clock p.m. PST. Twitch.tv/Smoochy. Smoochy is spelled S-M-O-O-X-C-H-I. I talk a lot about the stuff that we do on DLGaming.net, and generally it's nice recapping the things that happen in the stream.
Yeah.
So
plus, you can check out how Smoochy looks.
Oh, yeah.
Another bonus.
We're going to have a group photo as soon as Bobby gets his medium t-shirt. We're going
to... Yeah. I'm about to say, not bad. Not bad at all.
Not bad
at
all.
With Bobby? Yeah.
No, I think he's talking about your looks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you just hit creepy.
So Sam's in there playing Binding of Isaac as we speak.
Okay.
And
with the Steam controller.
Steam controller. And that was her idea, and that was great. So anyway... I walk in there right before we started this, and I was like, how's it going? She goes, I hate it. And I said, why? And she goes, well, I like this, and I like this, but I don't like this and this, right? Just different configurations.
Okay. Compared to the Xbox controller, which she's used to.
Right. So then I said, well, you can download other people's configurations, take a look at it, and I brought them up, and she looked at the list, and what's great about the configuration, it's just not like Chad's configuration, or it's Chad's configuration and exactly what he did. Right, there's a description.
A summary download.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, and so she read all of them. She clicked the one she wanted, installed it instantly, and now she loves it. She's like, "That's awesome!" Like right now, it's playing perfectly, exactly how she wanted, because she read the list and she grabbed the one that she wanted.
Before I started Undertale, it told me I had to set up configuration for the first time. I'm like, fuck this shit. I don't know the buttons.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to learn the buttons. And then I saw that I could download a config profile, and I was like, woo, first one on the list. Boom, done. Okay, let's just jump in.
I did the same thing. Yeah. First one on the list. It has like 7,000 users versus like 300. I was like, I'll take this one.
Thank you, Steam community.
Yeah. What game, Chad?
Oh, for Undertale.
So overall, you didn't say how you liked it.
I like it.
Is it growing on you?
So I'm using it exactly like an Xbox controller would be used.
Okay.
I'm not taking advantage of either of the touchpads up top.
Okay.
I'm just using it like an Xbox controller. Mm-hmm. The real question mark comes when you're trying to use it as a mouse, and that's going to be really the defining point for it, because the Steam controller, unlike an Xbox controller, is supposed to let you approximate mouse controls. And so, but what I'm finding is when you approximate mouse controls, it's really important. It's very sensitive. Mm-hmm. So you can move it around and point where you want. But you, being able to click, so there's two ways. You can either push down on the actual touchpad and it clicks, or you can use your triggers. But if you're at a sensitive point, you can't push down without adjusting the mouse moves when you push down on it.
Mm.
So games need to know to not do the down press to use as a mouse click, and to use like triggers or another button.
When you download the configurations,
you can set it up your own way.
You could have your,
True.
Bobby, you want to talk about anything at all at any point?
I got a new monitor.
Hey!
Oh, yeah, talk about that.
I replaced my secondary monitor with a new 23-inch IPS monitor.
Oh, you went smaller a little
bit. IPS?
It is 1 inch smaller, which is okay because 24 was just a little too tall. I flipped this monitor portrait style.
So
it goes long ways, up and down, and it's much easier to read web pages, spreadsheets. Web pages look so much better in that format. But I wanted to replace that second monitor I had with an IPS because ever since I got the IPS on my main monitor, it has just been so much better, particularly on the secondary one for the viewing angle. A big problem I had was if I looked at it from an angle, it would look very dark on one side, and I couldn't really see the screen. So with the IPS, looks fantastic from any angle. The colors are great.
What's IPS mean again?
In plane switching, in plane
but
panel
just
switching.
But basically means what?
It uses less power, it has more colors, and it has better viewing angles.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, wins all around.
Mm-hmm. You only want to use an IPS if you're doing, like, video editing or graphic design or something like that. Like, you pretty much have to use one of those. It is really hard to find. The other panels they have, they got a few other ones, but the other most common one is a TN panel. And those ones, they're a hell of a lot cheaper, and you can get those with higher refresh rates. It's really hard to find a high refresh rate and IPS panel all in one package, at least without spending under $700. But I am very happy with this monitor. It's another Asus.
Asus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's another Asus monitor, and it had a VESA mount, so I was able to mount it to the stand that I have to flip it. Definitely a big upgrade. So.
My idea of Asus is always Asus has always been like it's the bargain brand, but really they make quality shit, right?
They are
top quality. They made a lot
They've
of.
They've always been my superstar brand,
but they're always competitively priced though as well. Mm-hmm. So you're getting good shit at a cheap price.
I always thought Acer was kind of like the
bargain. Yeah, right. Nobody buys Acer.
Well, it depends on what product.
Don't even say that's Acer.
Based out of Sunnyvale, by the way. Did you know that?
Are they?
Yeah.
The land of happy white people?
The land of happy white people, yeah.
Yeah. So I played Waltz of the Wizard on VR. I don't know. I need a little feedback, guys. Do you want me to talk about VR? Because I know the vast majority of you aren't playing it, but I won't bring up too much. This was fucking awesome. It's so cool.
Is this the one with the hands?
Yes.
Okay.
So you're at a wizard's altar. It's free. You're at a wizard's altar, and you're putting together different concoctions to make different spells. There's 8 total spells that you have to basically stumble upon, because there's only so many combinations of
Oh, you have all of these ingredients.
Ingredients,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's 2 times 3, 2, 4, 6. 6 total ingredients, so there's a bunch of combinations you could do, two each. So anyway, you're supposed to unlock these things. And you're in this wizard's tower, and you're just experimenting with spells, and Oh man, the immersion in this one. This is a beautiful game. This is so much fun. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was, there's one called The Conductor, and you basically, any way you sway your hands, all the stuff in the room, it's like having the Force. Right? So you're swaying it, but it really feels like you have the fucking Force. Everything in the room is moving around, and you're like, you're doing these motions, and you're... So you're moving things left to right, but then if you start circling this arm, like everything on the right side will start spinning like a tornado. It's fucking awesome.
Is there
so
vibration
cool.
in these controllers?
Oh, yeah, and it makes you feel more and more powerful.
Wow.
I unlocked a fireball spell. You know, you throw a couple of fireballs, you're like, that's sweet. What happens if I throw these fireballs together? You get a gigantic fireball. Really, really cool. What's that? I don't know what that is. That's awesome.
Looks like some sort of tribunal or something.
Yeah, maybe you got too crazy. Once I blew, eventually you blow everything off the walls. All the barrels are blown up. Some guy came up to the top, like I don't know, my minion or something. He's like, what the fuck's going on in here? Like, he has a lantern. He's looking around. It was very immersive and very cool.
And this was free.
Free.
Hmm.
Yeah. No. You can't buy more things. Like, it's just great.
So we had a non-gamer give the Vive out this morning, and she liked it. I think she was a little confused, and afterwards she was still nauseous, but that might have been the booze from the night before.
Yeah, she was throwing up last night.
Yeah, so, but she was very impressed with the technology. Like,
yeah.
She didn't know what she was getting into.
She was scared, apprehensive.
Yeah, and she put it on, and at first she didn't really know what's going on, or was you know,
this is somebody that's never played video games.
Yeah, but after a little while she was starting to get into it and starting to shoot, starting to figure things out, and you can just see the like see it clicking in
yeah.
her head.
Yeah, yeah.
No longer is she kind of just like sitting there, she's now like being active and yeah. and going reaching out for stuff. And we were trying to teach her on the lab to like pick stuff up and move around, and at first she just wasn't getting it because she wasn't a gamer. She didn't mm-hmm. I had to explain how to like push buttons basically
yeah.
mm-hmm.
because she wasn't a gamer. And you know, after a while she was just getting it, moving around and doing it. So I think with the Vive, the coolest thing about the Vive is
anyone
you don't have
can do
to
it.
Be a gamer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and a lot of these experiences aren't for games, you know, they're not games, they're just experiences.
Yeah, and yeah. if you just like watching those grandma tries VR.
Oh yeah.
like
no, but even better when I'm picturing Chad talking about Anna playing the Vive, I see her in a bikini on a Twister board game.
I wish she was.
And you guys are just watering her down with garden hoses.
Whoa, what have like, you been thinking about? Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
That escalated super quickly.
It did.
Wow.
But that's what I see when you say non-gamer.
It's VR, not DP.
Yeah, what's going on? Holy smokes.
And you're talking about grandma playing the Vive. I'm yeah. like, please,
yeah.
please.
She went a different direction.
Yeah, for some reason.
Maybe that's what Amelia was thinking too, but it was just with his grandmother.
Too bad we had the fan right on Anna. Her hair is like blowing in the wind as she's shooting space aliens. No, that's not how it went down.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
That
it definitely was a hell of a lot sexier than Bobby playing.
I don't know. Bobby looked pretty good too. He had his hair blowing too in the wind. Bro,
Bobby needed that high noon tumbleweed to yeah. just pass yeah. by him.
We're gonna see Bobby get emotional again.
Yeah. No, just kidding.
All right, what else are we talking about?
I don't know. Bobby had a point.
Yeah, talk.
Oh, I did.
You were about to say something, and then Chad cut you off.
Well, I must have lost it.
I think he was trying to defend himself.
Yeah, Chad. New stuff.
Okay, so the last thing for me, it's not gaming related. Well, it is gaming related, but not specifically about games. If you've been listening to the podcast for a little bit of time, one of the things you've probably picked up is my actual station that I game on is shit. I have a very shitty IKEA table. That
it's something you would see in an insane asylum.
Yeah, and my chair was garbage.
Literally a torture device.
Wow. Yeah, could have been a torture device. So I bought a chair from IKEA. I was supposed
no,
to look
from
up the
Amazon.
From Amazon. I'm supposed to look up the brand, but I forgot to do so.
Honestly, I think I know what you have.
It's an Office Star or a Proline. Manager's chair. I bought it for less than $200 from Amazon, and I got a Reflex Pro gaming pad, so really it
neat.
Sits there. It's waterproof. Figsack and some of the other guys have been talking on our DL gaming group about some of these mouse pads that are really big, and you put your keyboard and your mouse on these things. So I'm using one right now, and I'm fucking loving it. It's awesome. I don't know why I didn't
get one
of these before.
People have figured out so much shit that you haven't been using.
Yeah.
Problems have been solved that you didn't know were problems.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you just deal with shit.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you don't have to deal with shit.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah,
oh my God, this is, you can get, your life can be easier than what I'm currently doing. Yeah.
It's like, was I ever living?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So does this mean that you're going to be good at video games now?
No. No, no.
Okay. Don't get it twisted.
Take a step back, Bobby.
Well, he will be able to do a 360, or no, a 180 without picking up his mouse now.
I can do a 180 without picking up my mouse, but I'm so ingrained in picking up my mouse, I will probably continue to pick up my mouse.
Jesus Christ.
Well, this actually brings up a very important subject, in my opinion, which is ergonomic setup for all gamers.
True.
I used to be in ergonomic sales.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
And so my...
All these hidden gems that I learn about these...
My job was to make sure that people were set up to work for long extended periods of time.
Without fatigue.
And to take care of the body while they're sitting in front of the computer.
What the fuck? That's so crazy.
Yeah. Okay. And if my setup at home is pretty damn close to a near perfect ergonomic setup, and you'd be surprised like how much longer you can go gaming and
comfortably
and healthily while being set up. And maybe I'll make a little snippet of that, or
maybe you can
diagnose
help Bobby.
You guys.
Maybe you can help Bobby out because his arm's about to fall off.
All of you guys to make sure that you're gaming the right
way. Emilio, because of work, has back problems, so he probably needs an ergonomic specialist to take a look. Oh, but just to finish my point, I also bought a table. It's a corner table.
From IKEA.
I went the $69 table right now, but I'm liking it. But if that's not working, I'm going to upgrade to a little more expensive.
It's a huge disparity in price. I don't blame you for going for the $69.
So we're checking. I feel like a fucking king in my throne right now.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like the brand new chair, firm, cupping my ass.
I feel like something's missing still, though.
Game of Agave throne.
Is there still something, one more thing you haven't bought?
I can extend that table out on both sides.
I guess you're good, right? You got the mouse pad.
The only complaint I have with my current setup, maybe I'll take a picture and post it up to the DL Gaming.
Yeah, Lab Monkey just got a new rig too, so he's going to take some pictures.
We should all take pictures of our setup.
We have some people. Do we have a thread for this?
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
The only problem I have is my monitor needs to be a little bit higher. I've jacked my chair up a little bit, so I need my monitor. I need a stand for my monitor to be a little bit higher.
Very important. Actually, okay, here's a quick tip. You want the top of the monitor to be eyebrow or eye level in order for your eyes to rest comfortably in the middle of the screen.
Oh, so you do want to look down a little bit?
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Cool. Okay, that's good.
Good to know. So we have big news.
Oh, are we going straight into this?
I think so.
Okay, so...
This is big news.
We've been teasing this a little bit, and we haven't even actually told Chi, so Chi hasn't heard about this. So we've actually partnered with somebody I know. His name's Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
And we're in the process of creating the DL Gaming Esports Organization. Yeah. So.
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't know if you guys are a longtime podcast listener. We had an interview maybe a year ago with a professional Counter-Strike player. His name's Prism, and he's currently in the ESEA Premier League. So his team was looking for sponsorship.
What's his team?
His team now is called Digital Logic.
Oh,
because we picked up sponsorship with them. So we picked him up. We're going to be launching the website here hopefully this week.
That's awesome.
So yeah, we've kicked it off. We have a Counter-Strike League. We're looking into some other potential pickups for this.
This is so huge.
Yeah, so we're checking it out.
I'm absolutely amazed.
There's going to be some big changes coming up for us because there's going to be more people streaming and there's going to be more people involved with DL Gaming.
So we're growing.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and I'm so new. Like, I feel like I'm part of that growing tidbit, but that is absolutely amazing that you were able to put that together. Is that why you were open to starting up Counter-Strike?
So obviously none of us play Counter-Strike regularly other than Chi plays somewhat regularly?
I've been playing my entire life. Yeah. My entire PC gaming life, I've been playing Counter-Strike. So whether or not I'm on a dry spell or playing consistently, my passion for Counter-Strike will never fade. So
now, for those podcasts, longtime fans, the podcast will not be changing. The very most we'll be doing is covering how they did in the last tournament, something like that.
We've got an esports section that we cover, like we're talking about right now, and we will be bringing up how Digital Logic is doing in the league and how we're doing.
But this is not becoming an esports podcast or anything like that.
And it's not becoming a Counter-Strike podcast. You know, if we're playing it, we'll talk about it. But we'll continue to do the podcast exactly how we're doing it previously.
And I'm 100% going to watch our boys when they play.
Yeah.
I need to find out more. How and when will we find out more about this?
As soon as, literally by Wednesday this week, we're going to have their entire website on our website.
Yep.
And from That's there, amazing. And everything will, and we have a new
so
logo
we'll get to
for
know
them.
All the players, the team. Yep.
Wait till you see the new logo. But like our esports logo is sick.
Yeah. So
Chad did a really good job.
I'm super excited about this. But this is going to be a big deal for us. You know, we're probably going to go through some growing pains. So if there's something that's going on as a fan of Digital Logic podcast, if there's something you're not liking, or just let us know. If there is something you do like, let us know. We want your feedback.
Any feedback is appreciated.
So this is kind of it's a opportunity for us to just see what else is out there. We're also talking to a couple more professionals in the esports industry, so we might be picking up a couple more people
in different games.
In different games, that's obviously. Awesome. So we're super excited, and we're going to see how this goes. Right?
Yeah, and we're thinking about picking up an Overwatch team before they get to, you know, like that would be fantastic.
Yeah, love to help with the recruitment process.
Yeah.
That.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
But how awesome. Right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm super excited.
Bobby?
And Bobby, you can't tell, but Bobby is super excited.
He smirked twice.
We're all excited. Yeah. Dad, we said it at the beginning of this year, 2016 was going to be a huge year for esports.
Huge year for us. We have a particular goal in mind.
Emu Killer posted up on our forum group that he was actually watching Counter-Strike on TBS.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So
that's awesome.
So I'm curious to know, as this was progressing to the mainstream, how it's going to interact, because you got to have the people that actually know what's going on in the game. I'm just curious to see how these big groups get involved, if they want to change the casters, if they want to change the setup. There's a lot of stuff that could be going on with esports moving into the future. So I'm just kind of curious to see.
What you don't have to worry about is us changing.
Yeah. We're the same.
Yep.
We're going to be the same as we are. I'm looking to do an intro to Counter-Strike and the Counter-Strike competitive scene podcast. So I'm looking to do that. I'm probably going to get Kevin and Mike to do it, and maybe
please
some
involve
of these
me
guys,
as much as possible. I would love to.
And some of these guys. So look for that in the coming weeks. Hopefully, I get it out this week, but we'll it's based on schedule. So I'm excited to see that.
I'm such a Counter-Strike fangirl, too.
Yeah.
I would love to just get to know all these guys.
It's kind of rough.
Let me get their numbers. Their gamer tags.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of rough because Overwatch just came out and we're all interested in playing Overwatch.
Overwatch just took a... We didn't get our fucking Undertale done. It's affecting...
Hey, speak for yourself.
Oh, okay, sorry. Listen, it's literally affected all of our lives.
It has.
Except for you, Chad. You actually didn't play a lot of Overwatch. Obviously, you're level 8.
Well, I've never been a huge... since I'm not good at first-person shooters, it's never been like the real hook.
But do you really have to be with Lucio?
No, you really don't.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to stay alive.
You could literally not shoot anybody with Lucio and still contribute...
Tremendously.
Tremendously,
yeah.
Exactly. Which is basically what I do, because I can't hit anybody.
He's always played the bard, and that's what he is. Anyways, I was trying to get off.
So that's it with the esports stuff. We'll announce more stuff coming up. You might see changes to the website, but you can always find us at dlgaming.net.
Yep. And we're going to be coming out with jerseys for our team. We have to. And I want one.
Yeah, I want one too.
And we'll probably be selling that. We will be getting an online market at some point. I'm looking evilly at Bobby. And we'll be able to
excitedly sell. Excitedly at Bobby.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's that. Let's get into the news. So this new FinFET way of doing chips.
So FinFET sounds like a diet aid, by the way.
Yeah, it does. It's a chip that has a fin on it, basically.
Hmm.
I think what they're doing is going, it seems like, why didn't they figure this out 20 years ago? But they're going vertical with their chips. So the chip isn't as flat. And now, I might be way off here, but this is the way I understand it. A portion of the chip sticks out from the chip. So they're building upwards.
Explain what the news story is before we explain the chip.
Well, I'm pretty much done.
Okay.
Because they're going upwards, they're getting way more power out of it. That's what the GTX 1080 is.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? Did I say that right? 1080, right? GTX 1080?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, because it was the 970, 980. Now they're going 1080.
And the 1070, that those are both FinFET. This is why you're getting much more power at less cost. So Radeon is kind of like, they kind of remind me of Snapple, when Snapple was like, we're comfortable being number three. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that?
Yeah,
like,
uh-huh.
It was Coke, Pepsi, then them.
Yeah.
And Radeon's, I think, settling in the role of being number two and being the bargain, you know. So anyway, they're coming out with their RX 480. And this is, I guess, their flagship at $200.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's using the FinFET, so you're going to be getting a lot more power. Bang for your buck, this is the best way to go.
This is what I wonder, the RX 480 or the 970?
Yeah, exactly.
Because those are probably priced pretty equivalent.
No, 970, probably $400.
Well, the 970 will drop when the 1070 comes out.
Oh, wait.
970. Oh, the 970 ones
are, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think because of the FinFET, this is going to be much
so
better.
So you think the RX 480 is going to be better than the 970?
Oh, yeah. This is pure speculation, but I'd say yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you thinking about picking this up?
Emilio,
that I'm looking at?
We're kind of thinking about putting together a kind of a DL gaming rig right now. There's whispers of it because we need something for VR in the living room. So we might have a new build going on there. It might be a project. So it depends. I don't know. That's something. Maybe we'll be getting something in there. We got to talk about what kind of card we need in there. So
it
maybe
be
it'll
the,
be this one.
Maybe it'll be the 480.
Yeah, maybe it'll be the 480.
Cool. But so, you might walk in and I'm naked in the living room. In some crazy position with the headset on and porn's playing in the background. But that'll be fun.
So, Chi, do you know, like, the 1080s? Were you here when the game changer and all of that?
Yes, like, with the 1080s. And, in fact, I think my brother just recently announced that he has one. On order, actually.
Oh,
and the one staple line he used after posting that he ordered it was, GG, my life.
Nice.
Because he knows that it's he's going to get back into gaming hardcore.
Has he listened to the podcast yet? Do you know?
No, actually. I need to get my brothers into...
Yeah,
I need
on.
To get my
we
entire following base.
Yeah.
If we get both your brothers, we'll have six listeners.
Yeah.
So it'll be great.
Seven. My mom listens also.
Oh, that's true.
No, I'm joking.
That's okay.
Our girlfriends listen to talk
yeah,
about
that's
it.
All right? Six, yeah. That's all six.
I can listen up to a half an episode. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Before you're like, oh my God, I can't stand myself, right?
It's always so I can't stand myself.
Yeah.
Like, you three are fine. And I'm always like, oh
yeah,
my God.
I think
God,
that's just human nature.
When I listen to my own voice, I'm like, why are you trying to mouth rape the microphone right now?
Yeah,
I'm like, is that how I always sound? Is that why I'm just talking and people think I'm flirting with them? I think that's what it is, honestly. I'm not doing it on purpose, I promise.
I sound much cooler in my head.
Did you guys realize that Bobby's...
I sound less horny in my head.
Bobby's cosplaying Zenata right now.
I gotta say, I've seen some great Overwatch videos out there just kind of making fun of some of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
The one that... I think I posted it after we all played in Discord, but... There's an episode of Family Guy where Peter finds out he's mentally handicapped.
Oh, yeah.
He gets this, like, buddy, this black guy who's, like, really encouraging. He's like, high five, Peter. All right. And I'm like, oh, that's totally Lucio.
Yeah,
so I posted, like, a link to that. And
we need
that.
A token Lucio in this group?
One of the best ones I saw was Zenyatta play the game, and then it cuts to this clip of The Simpsons where Homer gets mad at one of those pitching machines that keeps beating him, and he starts like charging it and getting mad at it, and eventually somebody hit him that he just falls down, and it's playing the play of the game music in the background while this is happening. It was just so perfect.
There's one of Winston player of the game, and it switches to there's this clip that's I think it's associated with Planet of the Apes, where somebody gives a monkey an AK, and he starts the monkey starts shooting people, and everybody's scrambling. But it's the Winston play of the game, yeah. And it's some monkey with an AK.
The other one, last one I'm going to mention. But the other one that I really liked was the Sound of Music, where it does that like sweeping shot of her like spinning around, and it puts Reaper's head on her and puts guns in her hand.
I haven't seen any of these.
There's some great ones.
Yeah, I like the comics I've seen too. One of my favorite comics, it's actually a clock, McCree's clock, and it says high in the middle, and then every single number is noon, 12 o'clock.
High noon, yeah.
High noon anywhere. It's somewhere, right?
That's awesome.
That's your favorite line.
This game just lends itself to comedy so well.
And it works so well because everybody knows the game.
Everybody's playing it, so everyone's in on the joke. And I was playing earlier today with Lab Monkey, and I went... I played Winston, and he made a joke about Winston checks in. I just want to let you know that joke was not lost on me out there. I got that. I don't know if I said anything in chat, but...
Wait, which one? What?
I was playing Winston, and he said, uh-oh, Winston checks in.
Oh.
Right? Yeah.
Like, Dunston checks in.
I
explained the joke.
Okay.
I actually got a pretty clever snap where Hanzo, my little brother, there was a line of... His friends were in a line, and he started playing the Hanzo... the Hanzo music it was the Japanese yelling of Hanzo's alt.
The Gary Ryu, whatever.
Yeah, and he played that music in the background on his phone while he like lined it up with his friends. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. You're alting your friends right now.
Like, somebody fuck that alt, joke. By the way, on a little side note.
Yeah, there's not enough warm up. He should say it and then shoot it, not shoot it and say it at the same time.
Yeah.
It's too much, I think. Not much more. Abduction is the successor of Myst. This is a sequel.
By the same people?
Is that Abduction like you're being abducted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just couldn't tell from the spelling.
Did I spell that wrong?
Yeah.
Way wrong.
Abduction. Why didn't... Okay, never mind. Doesn't matter. So, do you guys care? Does anybody care?
About what?
Myst, the sequel to Myst.
The sequel to Myst.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your spelling still. I was like, yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah, I'm with Bobby on your spelling.
Yeah.
A little grammar Nazi here.
You'll actively change my show notes as we're speaking about... we're speaking about it already. It's already in the can. And he's capitalizing shit. It's the teacher in him.
But I still... Can you keyboard type, Chi?
Yes.
Bobby, can you keyboard type?
Are you talking about touch typing where you don't look at the keyboard?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You've been the gamer for so long. How have you not learned
to... Voice chat.
There wasn't voice chat 10 years ago, and you were still gaming. You were on
EverQuest.
I was
a lot better when I was playing EverQuest.
Staring down at your keyboard trying to type.
I don't have to look. You know, the other day I was trying to type in Pornhub while I had my VR headset on.
Wow.
I knew exactly where every key was. My fingers knew.
You do know. You just have to train yourself not to look down. And you have to train yourself to move your
fingers.
Literal sticky keys.
You get a DOS key.
I don't type very much.
It'll force you to do that.
I don't type very much.
Sorry. No.
So Abduction, I don't know. I think Myst is just, it came and went. There's no bringing that back. It was great at the time, but I don't think people are interested in that kind of game anymore.
I agree with Bobby.
I don't like having to take notes. I hate that. Outside of the game.
What I think happened was Myst came out and it opened up new things, but people took what was good about Myst and
now we have Telltale and now we have Sherlock Holmes.
So all those ones that came out of Myst, like if we didn't have Myst, we wouldn't have had games that we have now. But don't go back. It's like we're not still driving the Model T.
I do have a couple caveats, though.
Yeah.
If this has a notepad inside of the game where you can just take notes and keep those, that would help tremendously. Having to have a pen and paper outside of the game, does it bother you guys? I mean, that's terrible, right?
Well, Alt-Tab, and I love Sublime as my little note taker.
Sublime?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's a coding notepad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, I know that one.
And it auto saves everything that you put on it, so you never have to worry about leaving.
Word 10 also has like a built in.
Or Google Drive.
Notes.
Or Notepad Plus Plus.
Yeah. That, and also if this is VR experience, that might really tip the scales.
Oh, for sure. Mist in VR?
Mist in VR would be fantastic. Yeah,
I feel like that's what it needs. Point and click anything.
If you want to sell copies, you're going to have to be in VR.
Mm-hmm. Have we heard any numbers on this? How many Vibes have been bought or anything?
I had the same thought as you said. I don't know if it's going to be the game changer that I thought it was going to be. There's no killer app. There's no Zelda.
I think we're going to get complaints about the game changer. I think we're running that phrase into the ground.
Yeah, we have definitely run that into the ground. Can we not? Can this be the last episode where we?
Are you saying the game changer is a game changer?
Can we?
I'll keep going all day. I'll do this all day. I don't give a fuck.
I came very close to buying a Vive. I actually tried to buy it, but there was a problem at checkout because I was trying to use some PayPal funds, you know, the PayPal funds that I found that I bought 100 loot crates with.
Oh,
yeah, that's where it went. I was initially going to use some of that money and also my credit card to buy the Vive, and it didn't like it. Plus, I was trying to do it on my phone. I literally pressed the buy now button. Like, that's how close I was. It didn't work out, and I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't do this.
Yeah, good for you, man. I mean, it's not going to be at your house, but if we get it set up perfectly over here, and Chi, you're so right. Like today when Anna was playing, we were having a blast watching her play.
Oh, it so is fun to watch.
It's a single player experience that can be enjoyed by all.
I think like it's only good in that environment though. Like, hey, come check this out. Isn't that crazy cool? And then that's about it. Like, the reason I ultimately decided not to get it was because I knew it was not going to be something I was going to use a lot. It's not going to be something that I come home and like, all right, let's move the couch out of the way and do this. It's going to be something, and I don't have a lot of...
It's not for the single bachelor?
No, it's not. I don't think it's for the... I think it's like a party favor.
Mm-hmm. No, but, okay.
I disagree with you guys because I think you're right, there's no killer app, and you're right, you wouldn't come in and move their stuff. But this is a brand new product, a completely different way to think. When I first saw texting on a phone, I was like, why would you?
Yeah.
We're going back to pagers. Yeah. Why are we doing this? And 100%. Now I text all the time because I learned how to use the function. I think the same thing's going to happen with VR.
You text twice a day when you check your phone.
Yeah, but that's what I do. My phone is basically a texting device.
Well, it's not
honestly
even...
virtual. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. No, that was you.
With with virtual reality, multiplayer virtual reality would appeal to me most. Playing an MMO with VR.
Oh yeah.
Actually,
for sure.
Feeling like you are your hero.
It's going to get fucking crazy.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, just because there's no killer app now, I agree, don't buy this right now. But when killer apps come out, it's, you know, just like a console or whatever, when there's something that will force you to buy it, you're going to buy it and you're going to enjoy it and then you're going to have it and you're going to see so many things that you didn't think that you were going to enjoy. All these things that have come out, you're going to like.
I tried it for the first time. I mean, I put it back on for the first time because we have wall mounts now. Like, I really tried to get this set up. It's not working quite as well right now. But like I said, I played that game. As soon as I put it on, I said, I forgot how amazing this is.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
It is.
Don't say the word.
No. It's, it puts you in another place. I forget the name for that. There's a word for that, but you are
suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, right away. I mean, I felt like I was at that wizard's table. And then Sam was talking to me about some non-game related, and I was talking to her about that conversation and stuff while I'm putting together spells. And my brain was able to understand that she is one reality and I'm in this other reality. But then when I took off the headset, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot it was in my living room. Like, I was answering her questions. Everything was fine. But I honestly forgot where I was until I took one. It,
reality is our senses.
The best thing I could say about VR is as advertised. It is what it says it is.
But the point is, I think we all agree that it is very expensive right now.
Yes.
And it is a niche. It is a niche market right now.
Yeah.
Until it becomes mainstream. Bobby will pick this up eventually, but he probably won't pick this up for a couple months until there's that one app that he wants to play.
I honestly don't.
That excites me the most. The only apps, games, whatever you want to call them, that excite me the most about this are the social ones. The ones where, like the chat room one. What do they call that one?
Something lounge or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, like G Lounge or something.
Yeah, I went in there.
Yeah, that is like the only thing that is appealing to me. Like putting this thing on and watching like a match with my friends and talking to them. You know, like we're in same virtual space,
like kind of like a sports bar, like a virtual sports bar would be awesome.
I would love that. Something more casual for social, like for gamers and non-gamers alike to come together, because that's what gaming is for me. My two brothers live in Minnesota. I'm out here in San Diego, California. Me dedicating myself to gaming is like dedicating myself to keeping in communication with like all of my, not just my brothers, but all of my gamer friends. That
and that's Minnesota. Chad, imagine Anna being able to talk to her parents in the Philippines in like and see each other. You know what I mean?
They're not in there, but I get you.
Like eventually,
it's
though,
more interactive than you know, like
you'd be able to like maybe shake each other's hands and stuff. It's crazy. Yeah. What
I mean, the potential is there.
Yeah, for sure.
But honestly, $800. Let's be realistic. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get a huge audience until you get that down to $400, $300.
$800 on checkout, shipping and handling, tax comes to over $900.
Yes, U.S. So. California tax. So yeah, agreed.
Yeah,
depends. It probably is even more. If you bought this in Australia, it's probably like $1,200. Yeah. Like,
So if your question is rent or VR, definitely rent. But if your question is VR or a ice cream maker or something like just disposable income, definitely VR. I mean, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
I don't think an ice cream maker costs that much, but okay.
It's the first thing that I can think of that I want.
That's a weird thing to want. But
I got big dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a businessman.
A week ahead. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be a lot of Overwatch and finishing Undertale.
No, it's not. It's going to be Undertale and more of Undertale, and then you're going to finish Undertale, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I might have to do a second playthrough of Undertale.
Are you thinking about doing a...
It's the kind of game where you could do that, but more on that later.
Yeah.
I'll be finishing up Undertale. I've got less than an hour left to go on that. I picked up a bunch of games, Day of the Tentacle and 80 Days, two games that had been on my wish list for a while. I also bought Hard Reset Redux. It was on sale.
Oh, cool. No, you did.
Yeah. It was $3, maybe because I had the original game. I got a
That's probably
really
what it was.
Big discount.
I love when they do those.
Yeah. So it's like $3. Yeah, I'll pick it up. I installed it. I may play that. So I got a few things lined up.
You haven't finished Doom yet, huh?
Bob? No, I haven't. Yeah.
You know all the hype you had, Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be this is my game of the year.
Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm, like, that has taken up all my time.
Emilio, one word answer. You had talked Doom being game of the year for you at the time. Now that Overwatch is out, I just wanted to hear Doom or Overwatch. If you could only afford money for one product, are you buying Doom or Overwatch?
100% Overwatch, but okay. It's hard for me to.
They're different, completely different.
Overwatch is more of a cultural event than it is a game. Like, it's a game, sure, but it's also like a new sporting event that all my friends like to watch, and like I could talk sports with my PC gaming people now because we're all watching the same highlights and fucking shit.
It was way more than one word.
Yeah, that is. He doesn't understand the concept of one word.
That's why I have a podcast.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. So, yeah, it's weird. Overwatch probably won't be my game of the year because it's more than that. Like I said, it's almost like Steam came out again. Something like that. Mm. Like that level of thing is going on.
So for that reason, it won't be your game of the year?
Well, he's saying you've had more fun doing other games, but this is goes beyond just a game for you.
Yes. This is more like Facebook came out again. This is becoming... there's a new circle of friends.
Yeah.
It's the same people, but I'm seeing... like. I see Bobby now. You don't see Bobby on Steam.
You can't.
You can't see Bobby.
Hit up.
He's a goddamn digital ninja.
Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you can find me on battle.net.
You can.
Yeah.
All the time.
Cheat, what are you playing this week?
This week I will be finishing up Undertale. And actually, I think if you and I need to go through it, I've only played maybe the first 30 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
We should do like a co-stream of the game.
Wait, but what if we're at different parts of the game? How does that work? I've never done a co-stream. We'll figure it out.
Whoever's further.
You said this a couple weeks. You guys just need to sit down and do it.
Yeah.
So
you got enough time on your hands?
We got to wrap this up because I got to pee.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I am playing shit, lots of shit.
Overwatch and
I'm the one guy that pays attention to fan requests from on our website. So there's a couple things that have been requested. So I will try to get through some of them. Paladins was brought up, and you know I'm in Paladins. I've already like pre-purchased Paladins, so I'm going to be playing Paladins this week. And there was a mobile game that was requested by Emu Killer.
Oh yeah,
it was Emu Killer.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna download that one and give it a go. I forget the name of it. Do you remember?
Yeah, no.
I could probably do that at work. Test out mobile games.
Yeah. So check out on the DL group.
I could do that on the DL.
Yeah, do it on the DL. So that's it. That's what I'm doing. And Overwatch. I got to get higher than rank 7.
Bobby, you got anything else?
Nope.
Anybody else?
Nope.
So this is Jaja Binks saying goodbye for everybody. Saying goodbye for Chill and for Child and for Hursa Yursa. Bobby. Goodbye, everybody. Toodles.
What up, guys? This will be the last interview of the DL Gaming crew for a while, at least. Maybe we'll do this again later. But this one's going to... What?
Well, our esports, we're probably going to interview all those guys eventually.
True, but for the DL Gaming podcast, This is the last one. This is going to get to know Chi and find out a little bit more about her. You're going to learn just like we're going to learn. We're going to ask questions that we want to know. And so I'm going to start us off. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and your history and where you grew up and where you started life at.
Okay, well...
Basically, here's an opportunity to talk about yourself as much as you like.
Yeah.
I do this all the time and gets really old. No, so a little bit about my history. I was born and raised in Minnesota. Spent 20 years there.
Which is weird because you don't have an accent.
No accent.
No Minnesota accent. And in fact, most people assume that I was born and raised out here in the West Coast. I definitely have that Valley Girl
appeal. Yeah, you do
appeal.
Sometimes I have that Valley Girl.
And I was... always the tomboy, very athletic, and my big brother was my biggest influence in life, and he was, we did everything together. We were practically twinsies, and we got into gaming very early on.
Okay.
Starting with a Nintendo console, okay. Most likely Mario and Duck Hunt.
Console. So.
And then from there, my father, I was the youngest child for a little while, and he spoiled me like a princess, and I got, and between my brother and I, we've had every single generation console.
Okay.
Up through...
So you were a Nintendo fanboy for a long time.
No.
Fangirl.
Well, I appreciated all the different consoles, because I played a lot of games growing up, and once I got into PC gaming, I still was into console gaming. I think it was around the 360 and PS3 generation where I almost abandoned console gaming entirely and stuck to PC gaming. I started PC gaming very early with older RPG titles and RTS titles like Warcraft, Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate, hardcore.
And not only that, but when games, I don't even remember the titles of, I just remember opening a PC game box and there would be 10 discs I would have to play through in order to play this game. And so PC gaming, before I could even, I can't even recall half the titles that of the games I've played, but
because you were really young.
Really young, and I was just playing them just to enjoy them. I was really big into RPGs in general, so RPGs got me into PC gaming first.
Do you miss them?
I simply do not have the attention span for them anymore. I have very short patience now with video gaming. So unless it's a social game where I have other people entertaining me along with the game, it's very hard for me to play games. So, but here I am now. So a Minnesota girl. I traveled around a bit, worked for GameStop, and went from Minnesota to Atlanta, Georgia.
You were in Atlanta.
Yeah, so I was in Atlanta, Georgia for 3 years. And
that's called Hotlanta for those people.
And was with GameStop all 3 years in Atlanta. Got to a certain point in my career where I'm like, I think I'm done with this. And moved to Northern Florida and then followed my sister out to San Diego, California. And I'm happy to be here.
Oh, cool.
Best spot in the nation.
Absolutely.
Pretty much.
Arguably.
For sure.
Arguably top three easily.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful before city. We get into your gaming stuff, obviously, I'm a white boy. obviously Emilio is Mexican. Tell us a little bit about your race and all that stuff. So people who see you on screen or on your Twitch.
What are you trying to say, homie?
I get this question all the time. So yes, my name is Chi. It's not short for anything. It's simply just Chi. It's a M, and for a unique gamer tag, I like calling myself Smoochie now, and that's actually probably only 3 years old. I never really had a consistent gamer tag prior to that. And in terms of my nationality, I am all Asian, but mixed Asian. My mother is half Thai, half Laotian. And my father is Vietnamese, but I do descend from Chinese heritage, which is represented in my full name, which I cannot disclose. So kind of...
Well, because Chi is kind of Chinese,
It's also very Vietnamese. But my last name and my middle names are Chinese as well.
Okay.
And I am... an Asian mutt, which is rare because I'm the type that will throw out so many stereotype and racist jokes, and because I'm Asian and female, I feel like I can get away with it.
True.
And with me and two parents being two different types of Asians, it's almost like that very Romeo Juliet thing where one family hates the other, and I'm pretty sure my parents hated each other the entire time. Wow. So it's really funny how growing up with two very opposing families.
And if you follow the stereotypes, she's all the Asians in one. So as soon as she touches the car, it just explodes.
It's true.
But it's kind of like the...
I could headshot your face off.
Yeah, but it's not like...
Calculate the
I feel like I'm not a pureblood, though. You know, I'm kind of like the panhandle of Asia, which is, the dirty south of Asia. And that's what I am, so...
Okay. Let's switch to gaming.
Wait, but you also sometimes you go by Ronchi.
Oh, right. Hey, you remember that. Yeah, so Smoochie is when I'm cute and sweet, and then Ronchi is when I'm just mean and bitter and raging.
Yeah. Or drunk.
And after a long night of Ronchi, sometimes she's itchy.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
All right, let's switch to games. Let's switch to gaming.
Did you keep that?
Yeah,
that was about 30 seconds of thinking.
He worked for a week on that one.
Yeah. I have no idea what you said about Minnesota. All I came up with was itchy.
Okay, so you're obviously a first-person shooter fan.
Yeah.
You come from Counter-Strike.
Do you think?
Big into Overwatch right now. You had an RPG growing up background. Yes. So what would you say, if you had to pick one game as your favorite game of all time, what one are you going with on that one?
Favorite game of all time
is... Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot.
With the social element involved, Counter-Strike and or Left 4 Dead.
Okay.
And I think Bobby had a very similar answer, and I was super excited that he did. It's just because it was the one game that allowed me to enjoy it as much as anyone I was playing with. It brought the best sides out of my personality in terms of competitive teamwork, and it just seeing different elements exposed alongside others.
You kind of learn who you are.
Yeah, it's a new gaming experience every single time you played, and especially with a different team makeup. You're exploring these people, yourself, and this super immersive game. And so I love, and it's skill-based most of the time.
Are you a leader? Are you a follower? Are you a rogue? Like, your true colors come out in that game.
Yeah.
You get put in some tight positions.
It really depends. When I was playing World of Warcraft, I was hardcore in a very elitist leadership, role where I was super dedicated.
Serious.
Very serious. And
raiding guild, sort of.
And, like, in maximizing my character. And I was strictly PvE, just about. And I was very critical of anyone I played with. So yeah. I love team-oriented games, and that is why I love the FPS genre, because it's what everybody wants to pick up and play.
Would you say overly so? Maybe were you overbearing when you were raiding?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I was,
so a little apology to
known,
everybody. You
yeah, no, I was absolutely known as the bitch. No one... I couldn't get along with
that's
other gamers.
That's when she's bitchy.
And on, bitch. I'm bitchy.
Anyone? Okay. Anyone?
God.
Just
damn
full
it
of them.
Yeah. For making me
anyways.
Laugh at that.
No, I, and even with Overwatch, I have friends, real life friends that are playing with me. I know how, Amelia, you're super huge and big about, oh, you know, anyone could jump in and play. You get to meet other people. But there are people, like real life friends that I am like diehard friends with, love and support. But when they're playing games with me, I'm like, I can't game with you. Yeah. Get out of my ear. Get out of my face. Take your scrub pleb ass somewhere else. I like to play with a certain level of gamers of gaming, and that dedication to the game. And I personally don't think I'm that great at video games. I'm good, but I don't think I'm amazing at one thing. So I recognize that in other gamers, though, and it's almost like appreciating an athlete who's a master of their game.
I feel like Bobby has the highest threshold for tolerance for bad gamers. Like,
it's funny because
he'll play with Chad all day, even though we keep losing. And, like, it's a credit to him.
I'm apologizing to him after every round or whatever, but he still is like, no. He doesn't make excuses to leave or whatever.
Except
I feel like
last
she would be like, oh, that was fun. I got something else to do. Puts herself on ignore or whatever.
No, but it's true, though. I'm going to get a little bit deeper than just games here, but if somebody isn't making your life... if it's not improving your life or making your life more fun, get rid of that person. That's the way I run my life.
So
in gaming, same thing. If it's not enhancing your gaming experience, then get rid of that person.
For me, I know how much fun I can have out of a video game, and I know what type of people I need to influence what I want out of that video game experience. And easily I can go, yeah, no, not interested, or please play with me, please play with me, what are you doing, drop everything, play with me, please. I'm practically begging these type of gamers to play with me that I enjoy playing with, just because of how they play. It's almost like any other friend circle that you have, and I'm all about it in terms of playing FPSs and or MOBAs. It's just making up the right team.
So you grew up playing consoles similar to us. We eventually all made the switch over to PC.
We all have a similar story. It's all like Nintendo, then at some point.
We all have different reasons for switching over to. I feel like we're the exception for not continuing on the console path and switching over to PC. So what prompted you to, why did you make the switch? Was there a game that you really wanted to play that you
Counter-Strike,
just got
maybe?
Hooked on? Or what? What got you onto PCs?
Actually, I would say it was either Counter-Strike or StarCraft. StarCraft, I remember in middle school, I would get a big group of friends, and every single night we would log on and play for 1 or 2 hours. And
on BattleNet?
Yeah, on BattleNet.
That's awesome.
And once...
I didn't have that.
It's kind of the AIM days. Once that came out, and then that turned into X-Fire days, and then Ventrilo.
X-Fire,
and I used to have my own Ventrilo lobby, and it was just hearing the same voices and playing the same games and seeing.
What age are you talking?
Grow. I'm talking like 12, 13.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the thing is, most consoles, consoles have never been social. Like, you get on and you play against each other, but most people don't have headsets. It tends to not be as social, where...
It's very hard to coordinate anything
exactly,
console.
Versus a PC, which can be a very social thing.
Almost
and I feel routine. I feel like for you, and correct me if I'm wrong, the social aspect is the most important. You want to play a multiplayer experience, you want to play with groups, you want to play with friends, you want to have that social experience.
Which is also why I started streaming as well. I actually quit gaming for about 2 years, got distracted by that whole work, life, school, chasing boys at the beach kind of thing. And
big dicks.
It happens.
Swinging Richards, they're so distracting. But no,
She can't get a picture of a big dick out of her head.
Yeah, now she's confused.
And
you know what's crazy about Chi telling her stories?
My homepage is set to meatspin.com.
Wow.
Chi is 10 years younger than me, and we have the same gaming history, kind of. Like, we both started Counter-Strike at the same time. Uh-huh. It's because she started when she was fucking 12, 13, and I started when I was like 21, 22 with the Counter-Strike and stuff. It's crazy that we had this. I'm so much older than her. We had the exact same experience. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she was in her formative years, and I was in my Pacific Beach, San Diego years.
Yeah.
But, fucking, how... Ah, man, I love PC gaming.
Yeah, it was so, for me, it was living and growing up in Minnesota, there's just not a lot of things that you can do, especially during the winter months. Being indoors and playing my video games was my outlet. Yeah. It was my number one thing I looked forward to every single day, just going home and getting in front of the computer. So I think it was that, too. Minnesota was fucking boring, and video games were the most fun that I could get out of my day.
For sure.
So let's talk a little bit about your Twitch stream, because I think Twitch streaming is something that I think all of us would do if we could do it. But
I enjoyed it.
One, we're guys, and two, we don't have a whole lot of time. So talk a little bit about your Twitch stream, why you got into it and what you enjoy about it, and kind of moving forward, what you're hoping to
get. But also your issues with it, like not being able to stay or hard time staying consistent. The whole thing.
Oh, I love this part. Okay, so with streaming, I used to be roommates with a Justin TV streamer.
Oh, way back in the day.
Way back in the day, before Twitch. And
for half a second, I thought you were going to say I was roommates with Justin TV.
No,
and I was
shit. No, I would actually be front page every day if I could do that.
And you'd also be in a squirrel suit right now and jump out and just fly home. Like, you'd have all the toys.
I'd make a living out of streaming if that were the case. So I was always aware of what streaming was, but I wasn't always interested. And it wasn't... And I was more of a viewer than an actual streamer because I simply did not have what I thought was the time and or care for building a social community around gaming because I was already satisfied. It was when I was unsatisfied with my social gaming when I finally decided to reach out and branch into streaming. I was like, I'm running out of gamer friends to play with, and I need to find more, so why not do it through Twitch?
Wait, running out, why? Did you fire a lot of your friends?
As an adult, it's really hard to find gamer friends.
Yeah. Weeding through the plebs and the fuckboys and the crap that's out there on the internet.
What's a fuckboy?
Somebody that just wants to hit on you because you're a girl and you're a gamer?
I deal with that all the time.
The boys that call you Grill, and, you know, like...
They call you what?
Grill.
Grill.
Like a misspelling of girl.
Oh.
It's gamer lingo.
Okay.
For a girl, instead of calling...
Wow, stop dating yourself.
It's like a gamer girl, and they call it a grill.
It's kind of like poem.
Prawn. It's kind of like prawn or...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Or leet. Whatever.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah, but it's gamer girl is now shortened to grill.
Yeah,
in the video game hemisphere now.
Do you like that?
No, I hate it.
Oh. Is it derogatory?
It's
sorry, I don't know what's going on.
It's definitely
we know this.
Yeah,
it's just a way for a boy to highlight that you're a female gamer. Yeah. And to create a falsified enthusiasm around it, and it's annoying.
Like I hate to talk shit about Dick Nick, but. Dick Nick is my nephew. You played with him. Like, right away, he took this, like, a certain approach with Chi. Like, right off the bat. I don't even know if you even... You probably don't even detect it.
Like, well, she doesn't know him in the first place.
Right. Yeah. But right away, he was like, oh, I'm in charge of you. Let me... I guess I kind of was, too. I was like, hey, this is how you play Soldier 76. And she's like, I got this. And she got play of the game, the first game, like right off the bat. So then I was like, oh, shit, yeah. But no, like, you know, Dick Nick, like, he was a dick.
Well,
you know?
He's a dick to everybody. But I think, to get back to Chi, I think...
He was a dick to her. I mean, I'm talking about her.
I think as a girl gamer, there's complications. But there's also advantages. Mm-hmm. Like, don't you feel like... The Twitch stream.
How much shit you get were
more?
You
get more viewers as a girl than you would as a guy because.
Oh yeah, of course.
So it's a trade-off. There's good parts and bad parts. To
more
it.
Bad than good, I would imagine.
Well,
how many things were you given in World of Warcraft?
Virtually none.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you have to
really
be open.
Hard.
Yeah.
And
she was a bitch. Remember?
I was a bitch. Oh, yeah. And I probably wouldn't even take charity if it was offered to me. Yeah.
Good for
it
you.
And that's the thing about me and gaming. That's why I like competitive gaming because it's unless I can keep up with the boys around me. It was all about just like being one of the being one of the guys, being one of the boys, and you know holding my own ground so they wouldn't feel like they're dragging me.
Does anybody know how well that lady team is doing, the CSGO lady team.
I don't know which what's the name.
I know there's a girl team. I don't know. Yeah. I just don't.
There's well. Actually a whole league.
Yeah. A league of their own?
League of Legends for girls.
Yeah.
Exclusively awesome. For girls.
Yeah.
But that's really cool.
I think the point is she's probably a better gamer than I am, regardless of sex.
Well, it depends.
Like, she's a good gamer regardless. And sometimes it annoys you that you're casted.
Chia, you good at puzzles?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. Chad's really good at puzzles.
And yeah.
That's, yeah. But we're not talking about me, though.
That's the thing. It's, for me, I couldn't care less whether someone thinks I'm good or bad. Like, that's not the experience for me anymore. Like, when I was younger, I might have, been offensive. And I don't know. I like, throughout the gaming, throughout all the years that I've been gaming, there's a certain maturity. And like I said, I like controlling how I like to play my video games. That's why I'm very selective about my core group. I have a very large friends list, but I have maybe just 10 or 15 people in a separate list that says core group. You know how you get to have your Battle.net favorites and everything else?
No, I didn't know that.
Those are the people that...
I didn't either.
That
I only have 6 friends on
really?
Battle.net.
Oh.
So there's different tiers of friends?
Well, you could add them to favorites, and it's an exclusive list where you see them on top of all your other friends.
Cool.
So it was, and Bobby actually probably has this going for him, where he creates different sections of friends. And for me, the only section I care about is the 1/10, actually 1/30%, 1/30 of my friends list. And
I don't think
and
we'd
that's
make the
what
cut.
I'd look at. No,
I was going to say that.
You're definitely.
Chad, have you ever played
but
a game with
you're in
with
my core group.
No.
I think there's probably an elitist version
core group
for that. There's an elite. Have you intentionally not played with Chad because of what we talk about?
No, not at all.
I'm not as bad as we all make a... I will hold my own.
We will have to play games together, so that way we have a better understanding.
We definitely... We're exaggerating.
This is a perfect
sure.
Left 4 Dead game.
All Would right.
Play? Yeah.
To get back to Chi a little bit, so you play World of Warcraft, you've played TF2, you've played several games where you have roles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious on what role you naturally gravitate to, because I tend to be the healer role. Bobby tends to be more of the healer.
Yeah.
Bobby's more going to the warrior tank role.
Milo does tanky
DPS.
Or DPS mm-hmm. roles. What role do you kind of usually fill if you had the choice?
I generally prioritize DPS roles.
Okay.
And so secondary healer and or support.
So for World of Warcraft, did
you main
most
what
of
did
your
you
stuff?
Main? Wizard?
I originally...
Mage?
There was no wizard.
In vanilla,
mage, right?
Yeah, mage.
In vanilla, I was warlock.
Warlock.
And then in TBC, I was mage.
Okay.
So, anything to get me top of the charts.
DPS. Yeah.
But in Counter-Strike, honestly, I like playing with... I like being near the middle and or bottom of the scoreboard, because that means I'm playing with higher skilled players.
Okay.
And it means
that's how you
that
get better.
I'm learning. Yeah, from them.
Okay.
And when I can feel like I'm growing in the game... And people have the tolerance to deal with me. That's when I'm having a lot.
Do you feel like you're still improving after all these years?
Every single time I pick up a game and play, I'm learning something new. And that's what I like about Overwatch, with so many different characters, so many different abilities.
So much to
and
learn.
Even like getting my ass beaten, I'm picking up on what the hell they're doing so I can make the next experience a better experience. And and that's what I love about it.
Okay.
Cool. Do you have anything else, Chad?
No, I think this was good. Thank you very much. Chief.
Wait, hold on.
Oh.
Very important question.
Oh, okay.
hoverboard or lightsaber? If you got to one from Amazon tomorrow.
Lightsaber.
And what would you do with it in practical day use? Would it change your life? How would you use it? Is it just a party favor? Or
no, I would slice up some mofos.
You would kill people?
Probably.
You'd go from an innocent Asian girl.
Yeah.
And isn't it... To a murdering assassin because you have a laser sword.
Well,
is that what you're telling me?
Who else has a laser sword? Like, who would
checkmate
fuck with me and a real laser sword?
Somebody would shoot you
would
and you would die.
I don't know. I would be like super ninja about it. Like, if I could actually laser sword.
She would take
someone.
Sword lessons and become an assassin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
I thought you were going to ask if you could be a video game character.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
If a video game character played you in a movie...
What?
Is that the way it was?
No, if you could be any video game character...
I've never asked that question in my life.
Oh.
Really?
Anyway. If you could be any video game character, which would you be?
That's a really good... actually, no. Shepard from Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So versatile. Well, you're... He's you, though, which is weird.
But he also is a badass that flies a spaceship and saves the world 18 times.
And gets to have
the universe,
hot alien
hot
Garrus
alien sex.
Did you play 3? Did you play them all?
I played them all. I never finished 3, so no spoilers in that one.
Did you play as a lady?
Yes.
You saved the world.
I 100%ed spoiled. Mass Effect 2.
Are you going to be a lesbian in the third one?
No, I don't like lesbianism at all.
Oh.
So yeah.
I very much like
We definitely differ. We're gonna have to
no,
talk.
No, you guys are both very straight.
We're definitely going to have to... No, I'm way into lesbianism, though.
So you played as a female shepherd and fucked the girls?
I wish I did.
Wow. All right. On that note...
on that bombshell.
I think we're gonna call this interview done, and thank you, Chi.
Thank you, guys.
We'll kick up the listener questions next week. Listener spotlight next week. So thank you very much, guys.
And if you guys aren't as your interviews aren't as elaborate as these ones, it's because you're not as interesting. So
we're gonna cut this all out.
Love you guys. Later. End of the podcast. Goodbye.
Smooches.
Titties, I guess. Bye.